please, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. And this chapter, and indeed the one following, chapter 14, they outline for us the law of leprosy. And last time I spoke, we began to delve into this subject, and I'll give a very brief recap of the message last time. But before we do any more, let's pray for us. Father, we ask you that as we come to your word now, that Lord, you would teach us and speak to us by your Spirit, Lord, and not so much that it will be my words that are heard and remembered, but rather those things that by your Spirit you be pleased to speak and to write upon our hearts. Let those things be heard and remain. Lord, give your grace, we ask you. Anoint the preaching and the hearing this morning. Cause your word to live to our hearts and to be living and active in each one of us. Amen. Amen. So last time we were focusing on the verse in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, where the Lord says, be careful against an infection of leprosy. And we were thinking that that doesn't just refer to being careful to avoid the spread of a natural disease, because the very next verse tells us to remember what the Lord did to Miriam, which indicates, therefore, that leprosy was something that the Lord put on somebody where there had been an outbreak of sinful activity. And we saw that in the lives of Miriam, when she rebelled against Moses, along with Aaron, in the life of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, and finally in the life of King Uzziah, when he went beyond his the remit of his ministry and touched those things that were solely for the priest to do, and he was struck with leprosy. And so we have kind of described it as being representative of not just the fact that we're sinners, because we all are, but rather that it's representing the active energy of evil at work. Something has broken out and begun to bear bad fruit. So that's a very brief summary of the last message. So then Leviticus 13 begins to give us a lot of detail on various aspects of how this whole matter could be dealt with. So it describes to us the process of diagnosing a case of leprosy, and how to deal with a leper, and also five different scenarios in which leprosy may or may not occur, all of which I think are quite instructive. But let's start at the beginning. So, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, or a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. So here's the first thing. There's something emerges on an individual. And before I go any further, I ought to say, these two chapters, chapters 13 and 14, they address leprosy in three different situations. One is leprosy on a person, an individual. And that's in chapter 13. The end of chapter 13 also introduces us to the idea of leprosy in a garment or in an article of leather. And then chapter 14 goes on to describe leprosy in a house, a building, all of which have their particular application. This morning we'll only be looking at the leprosy in a person. But there is a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, but it's on the skin. And this is indicative of the fact that something is coming to light. Something has come to the surface. It has been exposed. And this is the first thing that we need to watch out for. When we find something coming, bubbling up to the surface in our own life, or maybe we observe it in another's life, then that could be the beginning of a problem. The Lord is always wanting to expose things, is he not? The Lord wants to shine his light on things, that which is uncovered and hidden should be brought into the light. That's actually the first step in things then being dealt with in our lives. And so it's on the skin. And there might be a swelling. This is an elevation. Figuratively, it can mean elation, even exaltation. So this is very much linked with the idea of pride again. And we saw last time how there is a definite link in the scriptures between pride and leprosy emerging. So that something like, there may be a swelling, a pride, an exaltation begins to occur in a person. There could be a scab. And this refers to the fact that it adheres to something. And sometimes something adheres to us, something unusual sticks to us. We seem to have a problem that's sticking. That may be indicative of leprosy about to emerge. Or there could be a bright spot. That is to say, something that stands out from the surroundings. Something that just, you notice, it's a bit unusual, it's a bit out of character perhaps. All of these things could, in theory, could potentially mean that there's an infection of leprosy, but they're not a definite indicator of the fact. And what needs to happen is that the person has to go to the high priest. And as we begin to look at the process of diagnosing a case of leprosy, may I say that the reason we want to do that is not so that we can become sort of professional sin spotters. A bit like the Pharisees who wanted to point out the speck in someone else's eye while being oblivious to the plank in their own eye. It's such a gripping sort of illustration, isn't it? And we can be like that. So we're not meant to be doing that. The first reason we want to know how to diagnose leprosy is so that we can recognise it in ourselves and run to our great high priest in order to be forgiven and cleansed and healed. But also, we do need to learn to recognise when there is an infection of leprosy, not just so we can look down our noses and point fingers, but so that we can make sure we don't catch a dose of it ourselves. Because the problem is that leprosy spreads, it's contagious, and we'll see more of that later on. But fundamentally, this is a matter for the high priest. And it's the Lord Jesus who we need to come to and in a sense say, now Lord, examine me. Lord, look at me. And if you begin to see there's something in you that feels out of place or it's swelling a bit or it's a bit out of character, say, Lord, help, what's going on? And allow the Lord to shed his light. Allow him to expose to you what's going on. And if you see something else that troubles you in another believer, don't rush to have a go at them. Go to the high priest. Pray, say, now, Lord, what's going on here? Lord, give me understanding. And allow the Lord Jesus to do his wonderful work, the great physician. And so, verse 3, there are two defining factors the priest looks for. Firstly, he shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, this thing that's come to light. And if the hair, here's the first thing, if the hair in the infection has turned white, and then the second thing, and if the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. So there are two things. Firstly, a hair in this mark has now turned white. You might say this, that the something is coming out of the leprosy that has its roots in it. The life, this person is now just beginning to produce something that has been coloured by the leprosy. It's beginning to show itself, it's bearing fruit, something's coming out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's this sense in which it's not just an isolated thing, actually something is now coming forth from it. There is bad fruit. It's coloured, it's shaped, it's tainted by the leprosy, and it's rooted in it. And the second thing is it's deeper than the skin. It's not just a superficial matter. And this is really important, because it will be easy, would it not, to jump on superficial problems, particularly if we're inclined to do so with other people. And we really must hold back. And I just commend to you, by the way, a resource that I found helpful in preparing these messages is Notes on the Pentateuch by C.H. McIntosh, a real treasury of meditation and information. And what he writes in that is that while we mustn't give, I'm not using his exact words, but we mustn't make any allowance for infirmity or sin in ourselves, but we certainly must make allowance for it in others. I hope that's ever so good. We don't give any room for sin in our own lives, but we've got to be willing to hold back and accept. Does the scripture not say, bearing with one another, forgiving each other? And so we mustn't be quick to assume that a problem we perceive is necessarily leprosy emerging. It may just be a superficial thing, it's just on the surface. But when it's deeper, when it's below the skin, when it's, you get the sense that there is something deeper in our own lives or the life of another that has now finally broken through and is bearing fruit, that's when there's a real danger. That's when it's leprosy. And so the priest looks at him, and he shall pronounce him unclean. And therefore, we need to come to the Lord and say, now Lord, if there are things that are more than just skin deep in my life, if there are, like I said last time, they just speak about the root of bitterness, which springing up. See, the root was already there. And finally it springs up and causes trouble, and many are defined. But come to the Lord and say, now Lord, are there things in me which are more than skin deep? Are there long-standing, deep-rooted issues that I need to get through on with God? Then come to your high priest and allow him to deal with you. Verse 4. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it has not turned white, the priest shall isolate him who has the infection for 7 days. So he's not immediately declared unclean, neither is he declared clean in this instance. It's just not clear. So the priest simply isolates him, and he just waits for 7 days. And this is such a good principle. Sometimes we just have to wait and see. And time will tell very often what's going on. Things won't always bear fruit immediately. And there's often great wisdom in just holding back, watching and praying, and see what happens. There's a wisdom in that. And the Lord knows at times when he needs to isolate us in order to allow something to become clear. Sometimes the Lord has to get us in a position where we're somewhat on our own, because there are things he wants to expose, and either we will come through it and the matter fades and disappears, as we'll see in a moment, or maybe the leprosy arrives. But the Lord is able to do that. And so the priest looks at him on the 7th day, 7 days, the perfect period of time, a complete period of time for the thing to become evident. If in his eyes the infection has not changed, and the infection has not spread on the skin, the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. So it hasn't spread, but neither has it gone away. It's still not clear. So wait on another 7 days. But And then again, the preacher, I'll look at him, verse 6 now. On the seventh day, if the infection has faded and the mark has not spread, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's only a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So there's been that inspection by the priest. There's been a necessary period of waiting to allow the nature of this thing to become evident. And in this instance, the priest pronounces him clean. But verse 7, if the scab spreads further on the skin, and here's another diagnosing feature, it spreads. Other areas of the life begin to be affected by the similar problem. After he's shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest. So even though he's been cleansed, this thing seems to then spread. The priest shall look, and if the scab has spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Okay, so we've got the hair that grows coloured by the leprous infection. It's deeper than the skin, and something is spreading. Three diagnosing factors. So then, what happens? Verse 9. When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. And we touched on that briefly already. The priest shall then look, and if there is a white swelling in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh, or living flesh, in the swelling, it is a chronic leprosy on the skin of his body. That can be translated an old leprosy. It's been hanging around for a long time. And the longer we allow things to fester deep in our hearts, the more difficult it can be to deal with. Come to the Lord early and allow him to have his way with you now. Because if we defer, if we delay in dealing with these things, it can become a chronic leprosy and it can cause problems in the future. Even if it doesn't seem to cause us trouble immediately. It's a chronic leprosy. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. In that instance, there's no need to wait to see what happens. The verdict can be made. And then we reach verse 12, and we see something quite extraordinary. It says, if the leprosy breaks out further on the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of him who has the infection from his head, even to his feet, as far as the priest can see. The priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. It has all turned white, and he is clean. And you think, well, how does that work? A small scab is a problem. The guy who's covered in it, he's clean. That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? What's going on? Well, first of all, let's go on to the next scripture. Verse 14. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. The priest shall look at the raw flesh, and he shall pronounce him unclean. The raw, in other words, the living flesh, is unclean. It is leprosy. And there's your fourth diagnosing factor. Raw flesh. When the flesh is active, when our whole nature is on display, when it's alive and kicking, then it's leprosy. And what does the Bible say? The deeds of the flesh are evident. Which are? I must have it later in my notes. Galatians 5, which are immorality, impurity. Let me go there by what I'm guessing. Galatians 5, verse 19. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Interesting that. Sorcery, you think, well, that's surely a work of spiritual powers. It's actually a work of the flesh. Because it's something we can do in our own capacity. Now, of course, it invites demonic activity, needless to say. Enmities. See, the first few are obviously really bad things, aren't they? Immorality, idolatry, sorcery. But then it becomes a little bit closer to home, perhaps. Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. The high priests, they had the priests, they handed Jesus over because of envy. Envy is not a harmless sin. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Raw flesh. And that is, as I said, our fourth diagnosing factor, and something we must watch out for. We must keep our flesh life in the place of death. It has been crucified with Christ, but we are to so live such that our flesh life is kept crucified and buried, and that we are walking in newness of life. So that's the raw flesh. But let's come back to this matter of somebody who's, there's no raw flesh, but they are white, head to toe. What I think that's saying, really, is somebody who recognises their utter fallenness. The scripture says that all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. This is not a person who thinks they're generally clean, and maybe I've got a bit of a problem just in this little patch here. No, this is somebody who can only confess to God, I am a sinner. There is nothing good about me. There's a scripture not saying that no good thing dwells in me. That's Romans 7, verse 18. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. This is a person who has abandoned any pretense of being able to earn favour in the sight of God. They can't come to the high priest and say, well, I'm pretty good. Just got a bit of a problem here. What can they say? Oh, friends, when we can give up on our pretense at pleasing God in our own ability, what rest? And God says, you're clean. It's the most incredible thing. When we just recognise and we come to the Lord and say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross, I am clean. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Do you recognise your covered, head to foot, and leprosy? The moment you do, the priest says, you're clean, off you go. Praise be to God. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what it's saying. Do you recognise your lostness? Then you're ready to be declared clean. But as long as we think we're good enough for God, with a little bit of improvement needed here and there, that's uncleanness. And so the priest declares such a one clean, one who is white, head to foot. But the raw flesh, that's the problem. Let's keep our flesh in the place of death. The chapter now goes on to describe five different scenarios in which leprosy might or might not emerge. And I'm going to call these the five B's of leprosy. So there's leprosy in a boil, in a burn, in a beard, and hair of the head, in a bright spot, and in baldness. And we'll take those in turn. And I think each of them, again, is quite instructive. So verse 18. When the body has a boil on its skin, and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there's a white swelling or a reddish white bright spot, and then it shall be shown to the priest. And in each of these cases, effectively, the principles we've seen, in other words, the diagnosing features, the need to isolate the person and just wait if it's not clear, those same principles apply in these following cases, so I shan't go through those again. But here is a boil, and it's healed. And yet it's possible that leprosy could break out in the sight of that boil. What is this saying to us? Well, I think that the boil, we see them, it's the same Hebrew word in various places in the scriptures. And again, in each case, the Lord sends it. And I think it has to do with, really, our submitting to God's dealings with us. So turn with me to Job chapter 2. Job 2 and verse 7. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. There they are, the boils. And he took a pot shard to scrape himself while he was sitting on the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." What a woman. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This was something, that even though it was Satan who smote Job with the boils, ultimately he only was able to do so because he had lead from God to do so. And so this is why Job says, rightly, "Shall we accept good and not accept adversity?" And as those boils emerged, he was being goaded by his wife to say, "Well, curse God and die." And that would have been an outbreak of leprosy had he done so. But rather, Job was able to submit to the circumstances. And I mean, the rest of the book is just extraordinary, what the Lord does with him. And Job's heart crying, his distress and his despair and so on. But essentially, I think that the boils, at least in this situation, are referring to and the potential responses Job could have made. It's talking about how we respond to afflictions that come our way. Difficulties may emerge, and they may be from the hand of God even. But the question is, how do we respond? Because it's possible that if we get the wrong response, it can lead to a problem. It can bring an outbreak of leprosy. And Job was in danger of that. He was tempted in that way. But he didn't indeed take that temptation. Interestingly, there was someone else in the scriptures who had a boil and it healed, and that was King Hezekiah. And we won't turn to it for the sake of time, but you may remember he was going to die, and the Lord told him as much. And he cried out to God, and the Lord heard his prayer, and his life was extended for 15 years. And he had a boil, and it had healed. And then after that, the king of Babylon, you can read about this in Isaiah 39, the king of Babylon heard about this, heard that he'd been ill, and then got better, and sent an envoy to see him. And Hezekiah took them and showed this envoy all the treasures in his house. And then Isaiah the prophet is sent by the Lord to speak to him. And he asks a very probing question. He said, "What have they seen in your house?" What they saw was all his treasures. What should they have seen? A pagan nation who's witnessed the miraculous healing of its king, of King Hezekiah. They ought to have seen the glory of God. They ought to have seen a testimony to God's mercy. Again, it's the response to having come through a difficult situation. And tragically, now, not that there was leprosy in that instance, but I think it's instructive. He had a boil and he recovered. And that's the context in Leviticus 13. Someone has a boil and they recover. How do we respond? Do we give the glory to God? Are people seeing that the Lord at work in us as we come through our difficulties? We need to respond rightly. Because if we don't, there's a danger that leprosy breaks out where the trouble was. Now back to Leviticus 13, and let's move on to the next situation. That was the boil, the next is a burn. Verse 24. If the body sustains in its skin a burn by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall look at it. And then again he looks at the diagnosing features and so on. But this is a burn. Something that happens very suddenly, very quickly, comes out of nowhere, and it really hurts. And it does damage. And do we not go through those sorts of things occasionally? Suddenly, out of nowhere, something hits you, and boy, does it burn. And especially when it's come through another person. If another person is the agent of the burning, that almost makes it especially painful, doesn't it? We can go through things that cause us pain. Things that smart. Things that even leave a mark, a scar. And it's through no fault of our own. We haven't deserved it. We've not been in a place where we're uncovered and invited. We just get burned. Life can do that. But again, the crucial thing is that we are so careful that the site of our burn does not become the place where leprosy can then develop. How do we respond when we are hurt? How do we respond to painful things that happen? Of course, the supreme example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." I mean, talk about being burnt. As he bore the sin of humankind and the wrath of Almighty God for it, and nails driven through his hands and thorns through his brow, and there was no trace of leprosy. There was no nasty reaction, no moments venting his fury at the injustice of the situation. What a perfect response he has to that most intense moment of trauma. Joseph, a man with plenty of reason to erupt and react, having been sold by his brothers after they changed their plans and decided not to kill him, they thought we'll make a fast buck instead and sell him. And then he was a slave, and he's falsely accused, and all of these things. And when he finally reveals himself to his brothers, he says, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance." He was able to say, "God sent me before you." He said, "Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God." No leprosy in his burn. Oh, friends, some of us have been burnt. Allow the Lord to bring you through. And don't let it become a site of leprosy. Don't let it become a place out of which bitterness and enmity begins to grow. The scripture says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Going on then, there is leprosy in the head of a hare or in a beard. And I said the beard just to make my 5 beads. What's this about? Well, I think that the hair and the beard firstly has something to do with our appearance and how we look. And there are various places in the scriptures where I think you can draw that from. And we need to, and it's right that we take due care of our appearance. And I don't just mean physically, but I mean in terms of our witness, how we are to those around us. That's important, that matters. But when we become unduly concerned about that, that can become a problem. I mean, whether that's spending 2 hours every morning in front of the mirror, that's probably excessive. Or whether it's that we become so concerned about how we appear before people, that how we appear before God begins to be secondary. That can be a cause of leprosy. That can be a problem. So there's something there about how we appear, how the concern we have for how others see us. Let's keep it in its right place. We don't disregard it altogether. We are to have regard for what's right in the sight of all men, the scripture says. But keep it in its right place. But I think there's something else here. So that if one of the defining features or diagnosing features of leprosy is one white hair within the leprosy, the ability for it in a beard or in a head of hair, there's an awful lot of other normal-looking hairs in the way. And so it's quite difficult to maybe really figure out what's going on here. Those things could easily mask the problem. And so when there is an uncertainty, if you look through the verses around leprosy in a beard or in the hair of the head, the priest would shave the head or the beard, but not the scale, to be able to see what's going on. What this reminds me of is that the Lord warns us in the last days there will be many people who come in His name and they will prophesy and they will do miracles and they will claim to preach in the name of God and speak in the name of God, and it all looks so good. They've got lots of normal looking hairs, you might say. And yet there's a problem, there's a leprosy, there's a danger there. Or the scripture says that even the enemy himself, he comes as an angel of light. It's almost as if there's lots of perfectly good, healthy, normal looking things, but in the midst of that, there's leprosy. And so what we need to learn to do is when there is something amiss, we can't ignore it and assume that most other things look just fine, so we'll just forget about that. Don't miss the leprosy because of the beard. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't miss the problem because of other things around it that look okay. The enemy will use a lot of things in order to hide the leprosy. To use a totally different analogy, he'll use a lake of good water to hide a cup of poison. I think that's maybe what it's saying. Leprosy in the head of the beard. So let's learn to not be distracted or deceived or diverted by other things. And when there's a problem, we must look at that and take it seriously. Don't assume that somebody who claims to speak for God is genuine when there are areas in their life which are just doctrinally way off the mark. Don't be deceived by false prophets. There are plenty of them out there. And they might seem to say a lot of good things, but there's leprosy. So beware. Going on. Leprosy in a bright spot. Verse 38. When a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, even white bright spots, the priest shall look. And if the bright spots on the skin of their bodies are a faint white, it's eczema that has broken out on the skin. He is clean. And I think this is really referring back to the diagnosis process at the start of the chapter. There are certain things that look like it could be a problem, but actually they're not. So if the leprosy in your beard or the head of the hair is warning us, there may be situations where there genuinely is a problem, but we've missed it. This is almost saying the reverse. You might think there's really a problem here, but actually there isn't. And so we need to be careful to take the whole situation to the high priest. Let's not assume quickly that someone's got a problem and write them off and consider them unclean. If it's just surface blemishes. And then finally, the person who is bald. Verse 40, if a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald. He is clean. If his head becomes bald at the front and the sides, he is bald on the forehead. He is clean. And it's, well, just leave the guy alone, he's bald. Give him a break. He's just the way he is. And I think they're really nice, something quite important. It's just the way he is. And sometimes the way we just are can actually be to us a problem. Are you willing to accept the way you are? Are you willing to accept yourself? Even if you aren't blessed with the intellectual prowess you wish you had. Even if you don't seem to have, you know, all the charisma oozing out of every pore of your body. And you look at someone else who seems to be the life and soul of the party and you're in the corner. You know, do you accept how you are? Do you accept the way God has made you? Where he's put you? This is really important because sometimes the danger is if we don't do that, if we don't accept the way the Lord has made us, we can despise ourselves. That can become a problem. That can produce leprosy. But furthermore, it starts off saying, if a man loses the hair of his head, how do we respond when we lose something? Sometimes we lose things in life. And again, it's not because we've sinned and it's not because we've done something wrong, but just God in his wisdom, as we go through life, we lose things. How do we respond to those kinds of losses? Again, the response and the way we respond depends whether it ends up being nothing at all or whether it becomes a leprosy. But the forehead, I think, in various places in the scriptures, that it has to do with stubbornness and defiance and an unwillingness really to listen. And I think we need to be very, very careful of stubbornness. Beware of being in a position where your forehead is so hard that you can't yield or respond to what the Lord is saying. Well, time has got away from us. But finally, verse 45, as we begin to close. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. Marks of sorrow. When we recognise there is an infection of leprosy in ourselves, we need to come to the Lord with godly sorrow. The scripture says in Joel 2, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. A rent heart God receives. Friends, when have you come to the Lord recently with that kind of an attitude over something we've discovered in ourselves? Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, and so on. The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. Let's find godly sorrow. It goes on to say, verse 45, he shall cover his moustache or his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. What's this about, covering his moustache? Are we feeling this? Dare I say, you've got a face mask on. He's avoiding spreading infection by what comes out of his mouth. This is so important. We can infect people by what we say. And when, if you begin to see you have a moment of leprosy beginning to emerge, whatever you do, keep your mouth shut. I wonder if things would have turned out differently with Aaron and Miriam. Miriam was the one struck with leprosy, but Aaron was with her in the rebellion against Moses. And I don't for a moment imagine that just happened out of the blue. They've been talking. I'm quite sure of it. And it's so crucial then, if someone else is acting out of a kind of a leprosy, close your ears. Don't listen. Don't get involved in the gossip. Don't join in the murmurings and the rumblings and the complainings. Because your heart can be turned very quickly. The scripture says that the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. And they go down into the innermost parts of the body. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. It's set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. And sets on fire the course of our life. And it is set on fire by hell. No one can tame the tongue. Cover your lips. And if you're not the one with the leprosy, but you're around someone who's got it, cover your ears. You're really important. He shall remain unclean on the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And this is the great tragedy. Isolation from the people of God, yes. But isolation from God himself. He's outside the camp. He's away from the tabernacle. He's away from the presence of God. And this is the great tragedy, isn't it? When we allow these things to begin to get hold of our lives, it can set us away. We can be removed from God's presence and actually we lose our fellowship with his people. And such it is. And indeed, that's necessary in order to contain the infection. Now, chapter 14 gives us the law of cleansing the leper. That will have to wait. Our time is up. But praise God, there's a way back. And remember the man who's white, head to toe. The raw flesh is gone, but he stands before God and says, "Here I am." And God declares him clean. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would apply your words to our hearts, and that every one of us would look well to ourselves. And Lord, in any way we have the potential for sin to become active and leprosy to break out, Lord, show us. Help us to run to our high priest. Search out what lies beneath the surface, we pray. And we ask that we would come to you, trusting wholly in the righteousness of Jesus and your shed blood on us. We thank you that you are the one who cleansed the leper and sent him away to you. And we thank you that you do that for us today. So keep us, guard us, watch us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.